Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and the head of the MTA, Lee Sander, does join me now. The MTA yesterday released a projected five-year spending plan for improving the system, including how it would spend money raised from the congestion pricing plan if it takes effect. The legislature has one more month to approve or reject it. Lee Sander, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good, thank you. Before we do the numbers, your spending plan comes with a warning. What's your warning?
Well, the warning is that if the legislature doesn't pass congestion pricing and fund the gap that we have for one-third of the program, then we won't be able to do the projects that we have in there.
That's congestion pricing plus more state funding, you're saying, to make about $10 billion out of this $30 billion to improve the system.
That's right. We've identified $20 billion of the $30 billion, does include $4.5 billion of revenue from congestion pricing. The $10 billion gap is similar to what the MTA presented to the legislature in 2005, and the legislature was able to fill that gap, and we're hopeful that that's what occurs now. But with congestion pricing in addition to that, it's a lift, no question about that.
$30 billion. To do what? What are your top priorities for construction, the things you think are absolutely necessary for the system to remain viable in the modern world?
Well, what's most important to us is keeping the program even with the state of, in the state of what we call good repair. That's to replace our rolling stock after it has achieved its useful life, track, signals, stations, things like that. Can't go back to where we were in the 70s and 80s where we didn't do that, and that is the biggest part of the program. That's about $20 billion.
So that's really maintenance as it's perceived by the public rather than expansion.
For the most part, that's correct. When the public experiences a station that has been reconstructed, they certainly notice the difference and want to see those stations. But in general, and the same when they, see a new experience, a new commuter rail car or subway car. But for the most part, the public sees it in that way. And then it's basically three pieces. That's the first piece. The second piece is to complete East Side Access, which allows us to bring the Long Island Railroad into Grand Central Terminal. Also then frees up the space at Penn Station Moynihan to bring Metro North into Penn Station Moynihan, and to complete the first segment of Second Avenue. So $5 billion associated with that, also finishing off the Fulton Street Transit Center. And then the third piece, which is another $3.5 billion, is to really position the region for the growth that we anticipate over the next 10, 20, 30 years, in addition to the first piece of Second Avenue and East Side Access. What we will do with that money, and that has a pretty strong connection to congestion pricing, is to put in advanced signal system on the Flushing Line, on the Queens Boulevard Hillside Avenue line, will allow us to advance the second phase of Second Avenue. We'll have the funding to begin bringing Metro North into Penn Station Moynihan, what I was referring to, with stations at Parkchester, Co-op City, Hunts Point, 125th Street. And it also includes the studies, because these things take some time, to look at Staten Island, potentially the North Shore Rail Line in Staten Island, additional rail, commuter rail opportunities and subway opportunities in Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, some really interesting ideas for the inner suburbs and outside Suffolk and higher up in the Mid-Hudson Valley. So it's a broad-ranged plan. So we break it up into those three pieces.
We have just a few minutes for phone calls with the head of the MTA, Lee Sander, this morning, but we'll try to get a few of you in at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. specifically on this capital plan. And we have a relevant call right now from Leo on Staten Island. Leo, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Great show as always. I just wanted to ask about decoupling capital improvements from the fare increase and from fares in general, so that things like Second Avenue would be paid for by bond issues and whatnot, as opposed to by our fares, which I think should really go to keeping the system safe and efficient and running quickly.
Right. So do fares, does part of our fare now go to the capital plan?
Yes. A relatively small component now goes to fares. Basically, for the $20 billion we identified, we have about $6 billion or so of federal funds. There's a contribution from the city. And then there are, you know, other elements as well. There, you know, there has been a component. What was worst was in 2000, where the MTA put together an appropriate size plan in the neighborhood of $17 billion, but we got no revenue from Albany or additional funds from Washington to pay for it. So we had to borrow all of that money without anything backing it up, and that had an impact on our fair, you know, on our debts, on our deficits, which I've talked about before in this program, Brian.
Right, right.
That did have an impact on the fare box. You know, from my point of view, some of the stuff we do is important for us to keep competitive nationally with London and Shanghai, so we remain the center, the global center. And I think Washington and Governor Spitzer have spoken to this. Washington needs to be doing more in terms of our capital program. You know, philosophically, I tend to agree with the caller. I'd like to see fares and tolls really for the maintenance, upkeep of the program, and we've had to add a lot of service because our ridership has increased by 40%. And, you know, I do think that my preference is for other ways to fund the capital program.
Well, I see from the press accounts today that you seem to have a disagreement with Mayor Bloomberg now over how to use the money from congestion pricing if that gets approved, because he's been selling this to the public and the legislature, saying that all of that money should go to support capital spending. And you say that some of the congestion pricing revenue should actually go into daily operating. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree with the mayor for the most part, and the mayor's press statement was very supportive of the plan I presented. There's a disagreement of about $100 million or so, $100 to $200 million in terms of who pays for the operating expenses for the additional services that we will be providing for drivers who would be displaced, who would come on to the MTA system. We would not be providing those services, although we'd love to, were it not for congestion pricing. If we didn't have to use that money to do that, you know, I would like to do what the mayor said. But the reality is we already have a, you know, $10 billion gap already in the capital program with what I'm asking the legislature for. And were we not to use that money on the operating side, you know, that gap would be bigger because there is a relationship between our capital program and our operating program.
Here is Joan Byron from the Pratt Center calling in with a question. Joan Byron, you're up. Oh, I can't get that call up. Let's see.
Okay.
Oh, there. Now I got you. Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks, Brian. Lee, just looking at, you made a very cogent case in your presentation for kind of the structural nature of construction cost escalation. And I'm wondering that even more in light of that, wouldn't it make sense for the MTA to look to do more with bus rapid transit, which doesn't require the kind of huge capital investments in infrastructure to get up and running and could serve many more of the folks within New York City whom we're hoping to divert out of their cars? You know, we applaud the fact that you and New York City DOT have a bus rapid transit program as part of your plan, but it just seems like it could be a lot more aggressive.
Interesting question.
Yeah, I mean, I actually led the advocacy for that bus rapid transit program when I helped put together the ESTA coalition and got it into Mayor Bloomberg's transportation platform when he first ran. And so I'm very proud in how that's advanced. We've really pushing it much harder since I arrived here, and we're looking forward to the pilot that we're doing with Commissioner Jeanette Sadikhan that will happen this year, as Joan referred to. I think that once we get those pilots up and running, I think it will create the platform for us to have a much more extensive BRT network. I'm very excited about that potential. I think it can be transformative, as Joan said. At the same time, you know, some of our critical issues, like, you know, getting people to the 400,000 jobs that we anticipate in Manhattan over the next 20 years, you need commuter and subway capacity in there to get folks from Queens out to Nassau County and Suffolk County, which we need a third track for. You know, BRT, you know, is not really going to be able to be that helpful for that. So you need a mix, as I think Joan knows, you know, in terms of commutations patterns, you know, other leisure trip patterns. You know, buses can be very, very helpful. And just to accommodate the additional demand on the bus side, we need BRT.
I know you got to go in a couple of minutes, but I was surprised, and I guess a lot of people were surprised, looking at the $30 billion for capital improvements over the next 5 years, and that only about $4 or $5 billion of that would come from congestion pricing. I guess the public impression that was being left was this was the way, and this was the only way, that we were going to be able to really fund the capital needs of mass transit. And opponents of congestion pricing, like Assemblyman Richard Brodsky of Westchester, are using this to say that it's been oversold because only $4.5 billion out of this $29.5 billion would come from congestion pricing.
Well, I think $4.5 billion in any other context, and I think also in this context, is a huge amount of money. It's three times the amount of money that we got from the Bond Act in 2005. There may have been a perception that congestion pricing alone would do the lifting, but when you're dealing with something of the massive size of the MTA with capital programs in that, you know, $30 billion range, you know, you generally do not have one revenue source. So I appreciate that point. I know Willie Newman in the Times today particularly focused on that, and so did Chairman Brodsky. But, you know, regardless, $4.5 billion is extraordinary. Were it not to pass, to have the legislature find other ways to find that those funds would be a huge lift. I also think congestion pricing is very important as we try and, you know, advance New York in the 21st century in the context of global warming to an even more transit-oriented city and downstate region. So, you know, you can make that point, but it's still a huge amount of money. And from a policy point of view, I think, you know, most planners, economists, whatever, you know, are supportive. And what's great about our program, I think when you look at what we're doing, both in the short term and then the studies that we're getting, you know, that we'll be doing to prepare for investment after, you know, the East Side Access is completed in 2015, the first segment of Second Avenue in 2015, you can see how we're going to be responding to places that have never seen the kind of transit service they need Southeast Queens, in Staten Island, places like that.
So last thing, on Second Avenue subway, maybe you saw the subway handout newspaper AM New York today, which has a headline about the Second Avenue subway being delayed again and riders being outraged. Is it being delayed again? Do you have cost overruns? What's the story there?
Well, I think that was a little unfair, maybe a little biased here from my perspective, but as we indicated yesterday, we extended the schedule for East Side Access for about 6 months, Second Avenue for a year, because of the fact we want to bring those projects in at a lesser amount. There has been a huge increase in construction costs. The cost of steel has gone up 90% over the last year or so. We were doing really well with those contracts up until last year. And so in order not to completely, you know, blow the budget, we need, you know, another $1.5 billion to complete them. It would be a lot more if we kept the schedule. Could we keep the schedule? Yes. But in order to deal with, you know, the massive national and international increase in cost of steel, other materials, overheated market, we think the prudent judgment, the right trade-off is to stretch them out. Not ideal, but again, you know, we're trying to spend our money wisely.
The head of the MTA, Lee Sander, thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. Migration from south to north in the United States, and now back again. Stay with us.